2 weeks from today, the Atlanta Falcons open their training camp, first open practice, and you can be part of it. You can go to Falcons, AtlantaFalcons.com, get the full schedule. And, of course, the station's going to be there as we get ready and rolling. And when the station's going to be there, I mean Joe Patrick is going to be there, because Joe doesn't miss anything, especially not with his hotty-totty new podcast. Joe, what is shaking?
What's going on, John? It's, you know, it's Falcons, right? It's no news, nothing to talk about. Of course not. There's always something to talk about with the Falcons.
Yeah, well, and especially with the new podcast, which I imagine, with all the news, has been rocking and rolling.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, there was just published today, the most recent episode, kind of breaking down the whole Kirk Cousins, Falcons quarterback, whatever you want to call it, episode, saga, whatever it is. But, you know, hopefully giving some insight to people about, you know, just like not trying to, like, honestly give an opinion necessarily about what's going on, but just trying to level set with, you know, what the parameters were for all the parties involved and maybe why things ended up going the way that they did.
All right. So that's a nice way of saying, boy, did that suck. How does this play in the locker room? How does this play in the coaches' offices? Hell, how does it play in Mr. Blank's office when they're watching this thing on Netflix going, because he keeps throwing shade after shade after shade after shade. What?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, Raheem Morris was kind of talking about this whole dynamic and, you know, the relationship, especially between Cousins and Penix in particular, during OTAs. I can't remember if it was during minicamp or OTAs. It was one of those press appearances they did. And I believe him, honestly, when he says that there's more drama happening in regards to the situation outside the building than there is inside. And I'm not saying that there isn't any kind of bad feelings or, you know, drama happening where, you know, we know that Kirk Cousins has been open this offseason about wanting to play elsewhere and all that stuff. But I do think when you look at it, you look at two guys who, at the end of the day, are professionals, and I speak both to Cousins and to Michael Penix Jr., who, you know, with Penix, I feel bad for him because he kind of is in the middle of, you know, like a lot of this drama kind of centers around him, even though he didn't do anything. It was the drafting of him, obviously, that caused that initial consternation from Cousins' camp, where he says in the quarterback documentary that he felt misled and all that. And that's where we don't know all the information, like, as to what were their promises made in that respect, that, you know, they weren't going to draft a quarterback, because he says in the documentary one of the reasons why he came to Atlanta was because Minnesota basically was up front saying that they were going to draft a quarterback for their future, and he would kind of be on a year-to-year deal, which is ultimately what happened in Atlanta after that draft pick. But ultimately, you know, Kirk has been very professional when he's been at the facility after the quarterback change happened. You know, he, you know, spoke to media and then, you know, accepted the role of the backup. And this offseason, he showed up. He showed up for, you know, an early portion of the team workouts, which may have been for show more than anything. But, you know, once mandatory minicamp came around, he was there. He answered the questions. And I thought that he was very professional with regards to some of the answers that he did give and was very complimentary of Michael Penix. And I don't think he's going to cause any problems for this team. But having said that, I'm sure that this is going to be an ongoing discussion that the Falcons are having with teams around the league and, you know, seeing if there, you know, is potentially a deal to be done. Having said that, I think any team that wants to come in and potentially add Kirk Cousins, if they have a quarterback that goes down, is going to have to make it worth the Falcons' while to get rid of him, because they're certainly not just going to kind of cut bait. That's already been made clear with what's happened throughout the course of free agency, that they're not going to just kind of cut bait and kind of, you know, cut their losses there. They don't see it as a loss, frankly. They just see it as now the situation has kind of flipped around and Michael Penix is ahead of schedule and Kirk Cousins is now that kind of insurance backup that we kind of assumed that Penix was going to be for Cousins for the first couple of years.
Yeah, I'm having a problem with all this. I got to say, this whole professional thing, Joe, because if you want to be professional, how about this? Shut up. Quit talking. Quit making it hard on Michael Penix. Quit being such a, you know, a petty little.
What has he spoken? What does he say? Like, is it just him?
But he won't quit talking. I mean, quit. Just stop talking. I just stop talking. Just don't say anything. You know, just sit back, quit talking, because he just doesn't make it any easier on Penix. I agree. Look, you got a guaranteed contract for a reason, for 2 years, okay? And so, you know, the money speaks, okay? The money speaks for you. They weren't playing Michael Penix until you got injured and then lied to them about it. And so, you know, this is on you. I don't think this is on the team. The fact that they drafted a guy that they didn't know that they were going to draft until after they had signed you when they went to Seattle is not a shock when they went, oh, my God, we can't pass up on this guy because we believe he's Jaden Daniels. He's right there. I mean, you can't blame him for that. Right. So, you know, I just don't think this falls on the team. I think it all falls on him.
So I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I can understand why and again, this is the information, but, you know, if Kirk did kind of have, if something was suggested to him during those, you know, the recruitment of him coming to Atlanta as a free agent, that he was going to have 2 years of basically being the starter, et cetera, and then they go and draft Penix, I can see why that might cause consternation. Having said that, like to quote the Mad Men line, that's what the money's for, right? But, but also, you know, I can't blame the Falcons at all either, because if you look at Terry Fontenot, I think that he actually learned probably an important lesson from the whole Desmond Ridder situation. Because if you think back to that time, Falcons were looking for a quarterback, right? They were looking for a long-term solution there. There weren't really the options available via free agency, despite the fact that, you know, everybody thought Lamar at Jackson was one. He was not. He was never had any intention of playing anywhere else, and teams around the league knew that. And so the Falcons, you could argue that, you know, at the time, it sounds crazy to say, and don't tear my head off, John, here, but, like, Desmond Ridder was the second quarterback off the board in that draft, and they got him in the third round. You know, that's a lotto pick. That's the kind of thing that I think a lot of Falcons fans were hoping that the Falcons would do in that draft where they took Penix. You know, and during that draft, they didn't want Penix as the first pick. They wanted the Falcons to take a flyer, you know. Who's the guy who's playing for the Saints, who was at South, Spencer Rattler. He was very commonly thought of as like, oh, yeah, take a flyer on him in the third round. But I asked Terry Fontenot after that draft night, why not do that? Like why not? Why use your such a high draft capital on Michael Penix here? And he said, you know, if there was a quarterback we could get in the third round that we really believed in, then we would do that. But ultimately, there's not. And you have to go after the players that you do truly believe in. And I think Terry was right not only to believe in Michael Penix because of the talent that he has, but look at the quarterback classes that have surrounded that. There was that one class that had those six, you know, very elite kind of quarterback prospects in them, where Michael Penix was one of them. And then the classes both around them have been really devoid of a lot of that high-end quarterback talent, especially, you know, that you can get if you were at the Falcons slot sitting kind of in the eighth area or in that 10th range. So, you know, I don't blame the Falcons for doing what they did at all. And, yeah, you know, like you mentioned Kirk lying to the team. And I'm with you on that, by the way. Like, you know, I've heard the sentiment saying that, you know, you got to expect, you know, players play through injuries all the time. You got to expect someone to do that. Yes, obviously. I mean, Falcons players, Kirk's Cousins teammates are playing through injuries while they were trying to make the playoffs last year. The difference was they were open with their injuries to the team and were getting treated, you know, treatment for their injuries and such. As to where in Kirk's situation, to me, it feels a lot more selfish where he's trying to deal with it by himself, not allowing anybody. And he's letting down his teammates because he's putting himself before those guys who, and they're all trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a triple lie. He's letting the teammates down. He's letting the fans down. He's letting the franchise down. And then the fourth lie, he lied to the franchise about all of it too. Real quick here, Joe. Yeah. Joe Patrick, 2 weeks from today, Falcons camp. You know how players like to talk about their Madden ratings because they get all mad about them. when the NFL comes out with its top 100 and ranks, you know, Drake London like 97th, does anybody ask Drake about that, or does he just look at it and throw it on the floor and go, this is just, or is that a motivating factor? Oh, I'm going to prove him wrong, or this is just trash?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get asked about that because we haven't been able to talk to any of the players since they started doing this list. So I'm sure that's going to come up, and I can guess what his reaction is going to be, which is kind of, I don't care, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But in the back of his mind, I think no doubt about it. I think that he feels like he should be higher up that list for sure. And I think, you know, John, I think the list is freaking crazy. Like,
Jesse, I do
Bates
too.
Was what, 93? Like, yeah, he was, or 92 or something.
92,
like that.
92, right?
Loa ahead of him. Like, right. Come on. And it makes no sense. Like, are you basing this off of what they did last year? Are you basing it off of what they've done for their career? In either circumstance, I would put Jesse Bates way higher than someone like Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe the position they play plays into that. But, that's the kind of drama we get nowadays, or, this time of year in the NFL, though, these debates.
I know. I mean, and we'll settle them all on the field. That's a good thing. We get to lace it up, and we'll settle this mano a mano here. Let's figure it all out. Yeah, camp. You excited for camp? Just broadly. I mean, 2 weeks. You can't wait, right?
I am. Oh yeah. It's like I was just chatting with another reporter today about it. It's like it's almost here, and I'm looking forward. Personally for me, like, gives me some more structure in my day to have something to do. But also, it's obviously really exciting times for fans, and I'm so excited to see the fans back out there, because last training camp they were doing that construction on the new weight room, which is fantastic, but prevented anybody from being out there. So it made for a real long slog of training camp, and I'm excited to be able to people watch a little bit this year as well to see all the fans out there, and I think that they'll all get a huge kick out of being out there and getting to watch this really talented Falcons team. The roster's a little thin, I would say, but the top end talent is absolutely there for this team, and I think that the sky's the limit for them, honestly, in this division.
Joe, I know you haven't invited me yet on your podcast, but that's okay. You do you. I'm still waiting on Lisa. I'm gonna check my email here. I missed the invite. How's it doing, and where can the fans find it?
Yeah, Joe Patrick on football. You can find out 92.9 The Game's YouTube channel if you want to watch it on YouTube. But other than that, if you want to just get it on podcast, just search Joe Patrick on football. You just Google it and it'll come up. But you can search it for whatever podcatcher you use. Just search Joe Patrick on football and you'll get it. We're going twice a week. We're trying to go twice a week, every Tuesdays and Thursdays, up until we get to training camp, and then we'll be doing one just about every practice. Every time they have a practice, we will be doing just a recap podcast afterwards, and then we'll be going Monday through Friday during the season. So it'll be fun.
See, right, exactly. When Joe says we're, that does not include me. Okay, it's just Joe and other people.
Hey, you'll be on. I haven't had a guest on yet, but they're coming. I've already been in contact with some, so you're on that short list.
Yeah,
Joe.
Click a button and we go.
That's right.
Yeah, technology works. No, I'm kidding, Joe, sort of. Anyway, Joe's a friend of mine. Joe, thanks much. Talk to you soon. 2 weeks away. Thanks much, Bob.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it.